Start 8, February 6th, The Water Snake. Stay with us.
Tuesday nights at 7, you'll want to tune to WUSB Stony Brook for 2 hours of blues music, hosted by Mike Bifolco.
Start 8, February 6th. Rising up from the southeast this month is Hydra, the water snake. Hydra is one of those constellations that needs a dark sky to be seen. The water snake is huge, faint, and winding, and straggles over nearly 100 degrees of sky with only one prominent star. That star's name is Alphard, which means the solitary one. Alphard is a bright orange, very friendly-looking star located at the snake's heart. Although Hydra's heart and head are now well above the horizon by mid-evening, the entire constellation won't be visible that early for another month. Still, it's easiest to spot Hydra now as she slinks up from the southeast like a snake charmer's cobra from a basket. Hydra has a flat, cobra-like head, by far her most distinctive feature. In a dark sky, you'll see that the snake's head is shaped like a lopsided square. In mythology, Hydra was the many-headed monster slain by the hero Hercules. Some legends say that the snake had 100 heads, others say 50, and still others say 9. Hercules discovered that the original number didn't matter, because each time he chopped off one head, 2 more grew in its place. To kill the monster, Hercules lit a fire beneath the heads and burned them to cinders. But one head couldn't be destroyed. That was the snake's innermost head, an immortal head in the legends, and immortal in our skies as well, once Hydra was granted her place there. Stardate is written each day by Deborah Bird and produced for the University of Texas McDonald Observatory in Austin, Texas, zip 78712. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
Is that over, Mike? It's the only theme we have, after all.
Okay. Well, it's about 6 after 12.
Nice theme. I like it.
Yes. And that's an Andy Lish theme, though.
It certainly is.
Andy does his Morningstar program, right?
It's in the home stretch, in fact.
What, this one?
Thank you.
It'd be done now.
Yeah. That's the voice of Long Island theme. And this is the voice of Long Island program.
And I'm Mike Juhas.
I'm Eric Corley.
And together we're going to bring you madness throughout the evening.
Early morning hours.
That's what it is, yeah.
Things like that, you know.
Yeah.
Today's a very special day.
Because we've been on the air this weekend 1 year. As as the voice of Long Island? Or?
Well, not really. We started off
as Radio Free Long Island.
Radio Free Long Island. Then we switched to Radio Free Weekend, which is still around,
yeah,
which is still actually the whole weekend.
That's a concept, yep.
As a concept.
Mm-hmm.
And now with the voice of Long Island.
Yeah.
But
I mean, the two of us, we've been on here for a year.
Oh, doing this kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah. And you know,
sure.
Did you know that 1 year ago, when we were doing this kind of thing, we mm-hmm. had the same... music underneath us?
The same maddening theme that makes you want to scream after a while.
Yeah, it kind of makes you want to scream after a while.
Take it off. Come on. We don't want the music. It's affecting our listeners. That's good.
That's great. That's the first time I've ever done that with the new turntable.
The new turntables have a break on them. That's great. That's really nice.
It's not like the old ones where they would go and just kind of fade down.
No, we can't do that anymore.
Unless we go in the other studio. And just, like, patch it in or something.
On these new electronic turntables, there's no way to take a record out of gear and have it slow down to a halt, is there?
That's what I just tried to do.
And that's the slowest it'll go? Let's do that one more time. That's the absolute slowest we can make it go. Oh, there's something kind of lost in that, don't you think?
Oh, I'd say so.
Hmm. Oh, well.
Happy life.
Yeah, that's what they call it. So what kind of a week was it for you, Mike?
You know, today I was quite gratified, in fact.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I mentioned over the summer I had this fish tank. I filled it up with water I only filled it up half filled with water. And it went right in the middle of the night. Luckily, I was in the room while it broke, and I was able to bring a hose upstairs and siphon it out the window.
And save the creatures inside.
Well, I saved the hermit crab that was... I still have that same hermit crab.
Really?
Yeah. Although one of the other crabs bit one of its claws off.
Another anxiety. I had a 10-gallon tank, and that happened once.
It broke?
Yeah, and I wasn't home when it happened. And I made the mistake of putting the tank on top of my record cabinet. To this day, a lot of my records have smeary covers.
Yeah, I bet they do. Well, anyway, so what I did was the next week, I guess it was later that day, I called up the company that manufactured it, and I said, "This is an outrage. My tank broke." And they said, "Well, would you send us a letter describing exactly what happened, and we'll send it to our insurance company, and you'll be hearing from them within a couple of weeks." And I never heard from them until today. I got a check in the mail for the...
Really?
...for the fish tank. And this happened, like, in August, the end of August. And the letter said, "We're sorry for any inconvenience you may have incurred, and we also apologize for the delay in getting you this check."
But didn't you return the tank to the store you bought it?
No, I didn't. I guess I could return the tank to the store I bought it and get another refund. But, no, I am honest. I would not do a thing like that.
Oh, you're serious. I'm sorry.
And, no, it really, you know, this whole little episode, even though it did come a year late, well, 6 months late or something like that, really restores my faith in American business.
Why American business, though? Why not business in general?
Well, because it was made in America. And the refund came...
Where in America?
In American dollars. Hop Hog.
So, why not Long Island business? Huh?
Yeah, it does that too. But the interesting
part... Why not
part,
Suffolk County business?
The interesting part was the refund...
Why not town of Smithtown business?
The refund, the check that I got, came from an address in Bethpage.
Oh.
And it was drawn on a bank in Georgia.
Close all that to hell.
Yeah.
East Coast business.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. I think so.
That's interesting. That's I wish I could think of something similar that happened. Well, you know, when you do write to companies and make a big fuss about it, you tend to get results.
Let me give you a tip here. The important thing to do is, instead of addressing it to chairman of the board,
yeah,
Extorco Oil Company, you should say, Mr. Eric Corley, chairman of the board, Extorco. Find out who that person is.
Right.
Write or call them, and you get better results then.
They say confidential and personal.
Well, you don't
important, threat contained, things like that. It's interesting, though.
In 1 hour, your building would blow up if you don't refund my money.
Within this past week, I've come in contact with two major weekly magazines. Now, one of them, I sent in a renewal form for my subscription, and I could get special student rates, which are, you know, a fraction of what the regular rates are. What happened was I sent in my card for a renewal, and they apparently never got it.
Ooh.
Either the post office lost it, or they lost it, or something. But I definitely dropped it in the mailbox, and I just never heard anything from them. So my subscription stopped, and since then their rates went up.
Ooh.
So when I called them up trying to renew it...
Was it an 800 number that you called up?
Yes, it was, in fact. They said I would have to pay the new rates. And I said, well, that doesn't sound quite fair, since I did mail it way before the rates did go up, and... it doesn't seem right that I should have to pay the new rates. It wasn't the fault of mine that you didn't get the card. The guy on the phone was very persistent. In fact, he sounded like a computer, you know, monotone and all that. He said, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. The trick is, always say this. Can I speak to your supervisor? It works with telephone operators, and it works with people at magazines. So I said, hold on one moment. It went away for about a minute and a half, and then he came back and said, I just entered it at the old price for you. Thank you for calling. And that was that.
Wasn't that swell?
I felt gratified and improved my whole day.
And what was the other contact with another magazine?
The other contact, I'm going to say specifically who it was from, is from Newsweek.
Ooh.
I got this thing in the mail. This is called a telegraph. I never heard of a telegraph before. G-R-A-F.
Ooh. Maybe they were talking about the Graf Zeppelin or something.
I don't know what it was, but it looked so official. It came in the mail. Did you ever get a letter in the mail and not know what the hell it was?
Ooh.
It has no return address on it.
He said hell.
It looks important as all hell. Again?
He said it again.
and you don't know who it's from. You're not expecting anything. It's from some strange part of the country, and it looks so important and official and dangerous.
No.
You've never gotten a piece of mail like that.
No. Well, unless it's from the publisher's clearinghouse or something saying, you could be a winner.
In most cases, though, you can tell.
But you can't unless you send this the postcard back.
In most cases, you can
tell. And while you're at it, you want to order some magazines, buddy?
One time when I got a letter like that, it was from a jury selection group of people. I never got selected. They just said I might get selected someday.
And you had no return address?
It had a return address, actually, but it didn't say what it was. The return address in itself, a post office box or something.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of a thrill in getting a letter like that. And this thing, I don't know what it was. It looked very official. It said from zip code, and it gave the zip code. That's all it would tell me where it was from.
The telegraph thing you're talking
about. Yeah, I opened it up, and there was this message on a telegram paper. It said, sent at 4:30 p.m., gave all the details. And basically, if I can remember, it just said, I have not received a response from you. I'm very puzzled. I don't understand why you have not renewed your Newsweek subscription. It was supposedly from the president of Newsweek.
Uh-huh.
Now, of course, I find it hard to believe that he actually took the time to send me a telegram.
Telegraph,
whatever they call the things. I assume that it was a mass-produced one.
Yeah.
But I just felt kind of cheated.
Computers can do those things, you know.
Yeah, but isn't it expensive to mail people things? I mean, it wasn't a regular mail letter. It was really like a telegram thing.
Really?
It didn't come to my door, though. It came to my mailbox. But it had the impact of something else.
Yes, ignore this.
But that's my experience with two magazines this week.
Huh. You know, It just reminds me of the time when we were going up to Connecticut, the four of us were going up to WPKN. Oh, by the way, this is WUSB, so there, lest there be no confusion. When we were going up to PKN, you had to stop off to get a Times. And I remember, I don't think I mentioned anything at the time, or if I did, somebody else was talking and nobody heard me. Nobody laughed. We were looking around for a Times and looking for some place that might sell magazines or newspapers and such. And there was this one building that I thought might do it, might just have magazines or newspapers. And the clue that gave it away was, well, it was this big building, and way up on the roof, on the top floor, it says, it said, penthouse available, and it gave the phone number if you wanted to rent the penthouse. And I thought they were talking about
the magazine.
No, I didn't really. I thought it would be worth a chuckle or something.
Did you say that? I didn't hear you say that.
Well, Lois or Marianne might have been saying something at the same time.
Or I might have been saying something at the same time.
That's probably it. Probably paging Howard Tripod or something like
no,
that.
No, we weren't doing that.
Not yet. Not at that point.
You told me you wanted to get Tripod personalized license plates.
Yes.
You really want to do that, huh?
I'm going to get one that says P Tripod if...
Okay.
Eventually, probably.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
You know what happened to me the other day? I was driving home from the city. I have a story to tell about WPKN, too, which I'll tell you in a few seconds. But, I was in the city yesterday, and as I was driving home in my car that has USB bumper stickers all over the place,
mm-hmm.
this Big Mac truck stopped me in the middle of the Long Island Expressway.
You were kind of stopped anyway.
Well, yeah, at that time of day, Long Island Expressway isn't exactly an expressway. It's, you know, people sort of get to know each other a little better, you know, stroll up and down, talk to the neighboring cars.
I see.
You know, real nice time. And this Big Mac truck blows its horn right next to me and points at my car and says, "Hey, I listen to USB a lot, you know, the Back Porch Bluegrass and all that." And this was in Queens, so I was pretty happy. I gave him a bumper sticker. Of course, I couldn't really make out what he was saying. I think he was asking me a question, but the traffic was starting to move then, so I just sort of reached up into the sky and gave him a bumper sticker. And waved.
He must have been really happy to get that.
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
Hmm. Good.
There was,
Now, you had a story you mentioned. You said you had a story about WPKN.
Yeah, but first, as long as I'm in the city,
oh.
I might as well tell you about what I tried to do yesterday.
In Stony Brook right now, though.
Yeah, I'm in Stony Brook now, but I was in Brooklyn yesterday.
Ooh.
Actually, I was in Queens trying to get to Brooklyn.
Oh.
Did you ever try to do that in a car, Mike? Get to a specific spot in Brooklyn that's no more than 5 miles away from a specific spot in Queens?
No, but you did.
It's not possible. I'm sorry. It is not possible to do that.
It's not possible to sound like an Iranian operator.
It was insane. I went down. I looked on a map and everything, figured out exactly the best way to go. And it seems as if they really try to make it so that you can't do that. I mean it.
Uh-huh.
You go down a road and you see the road that you want to get on that leads right to where you're going, but there's a big sign that says
no turns
on this road. So you go to the next block and you can't make a left turn there, but you can make a right turn. So you make a right turn, but that road doesn't go directly back into the other one, so you have to make another left turn before you can make the U-turn that'll bring you back into the spot where you can make the left turn again, then make a right turn onto the road that you want to go on in the first place. Unfortunately, streets in Brooklyn are not grid-like. So if you go for a little ways on another street, you'll never see the street you just came off.
Ah.
Which is what happened to me. Well, it took me an hour to get 5 miles.
You should have parked your car
and taken the subway.
Or something. And walked, maybe.
That might have actually gotten me there faster.
Walking?
It very well could.
If it's 5 miles, gosh, and knowing you, you run a...
But the thing is, streets. How are you going to get down streets that don't exist? You see?
By walking?
To people's backyards?
Yeah, alleyways and stuff.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Especially in Brooklyn.
Well, okay, now the story about WPKN. I was listening to them yesterday on the way home from Brooklyn.
What time of day is this?
This was in the afternoon, late afternoon. And the guy had someone on talking about satellites.
Who was it? Mike Zito?
It might have been. I'm not certain.
Uh-huh.
But he was talking about satellite dishes and how they're becoming more and more popular. And various things like that, how if more and more people get them, eventually they're going to put scramblers on the satellites so people won't be able to get them, and all these people are going to be wasting their money.
We were talking about that last week, just in fact.
Yes, we were.
Yeah.
So
not on the air, though.
Then somebody called him up. It was a call-in program, and said he had a complaint about his local cable system. And his complaint lodged around a certain channel.
June Lodge?
No, not June Lodge. His complaint lodged around a certain channel coming out of Hartford, Connecticut. That was, the way he described it, he said there's this blonde-haired guy that just shows a still picture of himself and constantly asks for money from people all the time. That's all this channel ever does. And I get that channel on my cable system, too.
Yeah.
It's Channel 18 out of Hartford.
Uh-huh.
It's what they call a flagship station of this West Coast evangelical group.
Uh-huh.
They call it Faith Center. That's what they call it, Faith Center. And
if that's their flagship, I'd like to see what their subsidiaries look like.
Channel 18 is called Faith Center East, I believe, in Hartford. And it's true. That's exactly what they do. They have this this white-haired minister person who just has a still picture of himself and some phone numbers, California phone numbers, on the bottom of the screen, and all they do is just continually ask for money all night long, and the picture doesn't even come in all that good. It's a very weak channel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So I just thought that was interesting to mention. I'd like to know if anyone out there also feels the same way about that station, because it drives me nuts just going by and seeing something that never changes.
Uh-huh. No, I don't think I have that on my cable.
What's happening here is...
But then again, I never watch any TV, hardly.
This person is asking for money constantly so that he can get enough money so he can continue to ask for money. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's similar to something that happened at Stony Brook this week when they were talking about the intercession housing fee. Okay, there was an intercession housing fee for the first time this year at Stony Brook of $77, which anyone who wanted to stay on campus... for whatever crazy reason they had, during the month of January when nobody had any school, had to pay a fee of $77, even if they already had a room. Now, a lot of people paid the fee because they thought they'd be kicked out of campus if they didn't, and were found on campus without a certain little pass.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out, though, that was never enforced, and a lot of people paid the money for no reason.
Huh.
Other people didn't pay the money and got away with it.
Yeah.
And in an article in Statesman... No, I actually paid it, but an article in Statesman this week, campus newspaper, said that people in the Office of Residence Life said that in order to really enforce that law, it would take additional funding.
Uh-huh.
So the idea is that they're going to be asking for this fee so that they can...
Enforce that.
Enforce the fee.
Yeah.
In other words, they'll need the money to be able to check up and see if people paid the money.
Yeah.
That's really all it's going to go for, and there's kind of similarity there.
Yes.
But, on the subject...
Yes, where is this all leading to?
On the subject of evangelicalism, or whatever that thing is...
Do you want to get that Tammy Faye Baker LP?
That would be nice. Tammy Faye Baker, one of my favorite people. Did we play that the first show we were on?
No, we played that in dub, though, at one point.
I remember playing that a long time ago. But there was a program on...
Andy Lish comes up with a lot better stuff than they do, I think.
Yeah, he plays some good comedy in his Morning Star program.
It's not really intended to be comedy, though, is it?
No, but a lot of it is pretty funny.
Oh.
No, he did play some good comedy a few weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah. Now, there was a program on ABC this... I believe it was this Monday, called Pray TV. Did you ever catch that?
I saw the promos for it.
Well, now, this is from an article in Newsday... sometimes this week, and says a television evangelist spoke in appropriately reverential tones and gave a toll-free telephone number suggesting that viewers dial it if they have a problem of any kind. Well, those who dialed, and about 15,000 people did, found that they now had at least two problems. When their calls were answered, their prayers weren't. They heard a familiar recorded message. We're sorry, your call cannot be completed.
It is dialed.
That's right.
Will you please check the number?
In fact, we can get that exact message, so we can sort of bring this to life. The reason was clear enough, even if the situation apparently wasn't. The evangelist was a character portrayed Monday night by Ned Beatty in that ABC movie, Pray TV. It was all just part of the script. Now, AT&T estimated that it received the 15,000 calls nationwide within 3 hours. The phone number was described by an AT&T spokesman as a non-working vacant code.
Ooh.
What they call those things. And
what was the number?
It doesn't say. That's too bad.
If we had watched it, we would have gotten it, I guess.
Yeah, the network had not considered putting a disclaimer on the screen to coincide with the number. But that reminds me of something done during a film once, The Night of the Living Dead. Did you ever see that?
No.
They have some TV footage of dead people, you know, attacking the living people who then became dead people and attacked the remainder of the living people and so on. They had to put little disclaimers on saying this is not really happening. And it was that realistic. Do we have that message?
Hope so.
We're sorry, your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number and dial again. We'll call your operator to help you. This is a recording, 5163C.
Now that's the message that people calling from this area would have gotten, but people all over the country probably got different messages.
I wonder if it would have gone, boo doo doo!
Like that?
Yeah.
Could have. Yeah, could have.
Yeah.
Well, That's what I had to say about TV evangelists. You have something there that's
what about Joe Evangelista? Does that have anything to do with anything? Here's an article you gave me from Newsday. The Queens edition, no less.
The Queens... Well, it's because I was in Queens. And I picked up a Queens Newsday.
Hmm. You know how I can tell, of course.
Because it has a little Q on the page, is
right,
it?
Right. Okay. Three teenagers who used a credit card stolen from a 96-year-old San Diego man to finance a nationwide buying spree saw their escapade come to an abrupt end when they tried to purchase airline tickets at Kennedy Airport, police said. Michael St. Clair, 18, of Fresno, California. I often wondered if the best pronunciation for that word is Freno, without the S, but, you know...
Stick with Fresno.
Okay. And Douglas Phillips of Tulare, California. Leanne Smith of Honolulu, of all places. They were arraigned in Queens Criminal Court. Now, they were charged with grand larceny and possession of stolen property, according to Tom McCarthy, spokesman for Queens District Attorney John Santucci. St. Clair and Phillips were... No, actually, it says here, St. Clair and Phillips were not... That's what it says.
Well, I guess it's emphasizing the and.
St. Clair and Phillips were not able to make bail that was set at $2,000 and $1,000, respectively.
They should have charged it. I guess they weren't thinking.
And are being held at the Adolescent Center at Rikers Island. Smith was released on her own recognizance. The case will be continued in Queens Criminal Court today. According to Port Authority Lieutenant Al Pretzel? The three were arrested after trying to purchase two tickets to Miami on Braniff Airlines at Kennedy Airport on Monday.
Is he a salty old man?
Arlene Rabinoff, a Braniff ticket agent to whom St. Clair presented a MasterCard, became suspicious of the signature that St. Clair wrote on the credit card receipt. The two signatures just look different, Rabinoff said yesterday. After I asked him to write his name a second time on a separate piece of paper, there was even more of a discrepancy. So I immediately called MasterCard, who then told me that the card had been reported stolen. Then the Port Authority police came up and arrested him. Following his arrest, St. Clair told police that Phillips and Smith were waiting for him outside the terminal in a van. Pretzel said that a MasterCard official in California told police that $4,400 in bills had been charged on the card since it was reported stolen by W.B. Hage, Jr. of San Diego last week. St. Clair, Phillips, and Smith had a total of $50 in cash and many credit card receipts for hotels, motels, clothing, and numerous rental cars, mostly Cadillacs and Lincolns, Pretzel said. They also carried credit card receipts and ticket stubs from Eastern, Delta, United, American, and Pan American Airlines, Pretzel added. Police said that Smith told them that she had run away from her Honolulu home to Los Angeles, where she met her two companions. Police said that after flying to Miami, the three drove to New York in a rented 1981 Lincoln Continental. Hage, the former president of a large California dairy processing firm, said in a telephone interview yesterday that he did not know the card was lost until last week.
I didn't even know the thing was gone, Hage said, until I got a statement from the bank. There are over $700 in bills from the airlines and hotels I never even heard of. So I called the bank.
Hagedge, however, was not aware of the $3,700 in additional purchases that had been made with the card since his last bank statement. When informed of these, he said,
Gee, $4,400, eh? They certainly had a time for themselves, didn't they?
Federal law limits the liability on stolen or lost credit cards to $50 per card.
Wow. That guy was 96 years old, huh?
Yeah.
How about that?
How about that?
Well, this enough to show you that, you know, his credit cards can go quite a long ways, literally.
They certainly can.
All across the country.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, it's not great, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm saying.
I don't know what you're saying either.
Did you see this? Well, did you have something to say about
that? Well, I bet you these three people will have to pay that all off.
You think so?
Oh, of course.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
They're going to be working for quite a while.
Yeah.
There was a Dear Abby. I love reading these Dear Abbeys.
Especially when they apply to people at the station.
Yeah, yeah. And we do get quite a few of our own in there.
Yeah.
But it's...
Incidentally, I played Dear Abby last night on my show.
You played Dear Abby last night?
Yeah, by John Prine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you play Dear Prudence by the Beatles?
No.
Oh, well. All right. This Dear Abby is dated, I guess, Tuesday, Groundhog Day. Was kind of an unusual one. And I can't really believe she printed it, but I guess she thought it would be interesting. It goes, Dear Abby, I'm 39, divorced, have four kids, am on welfare, and I think I'm pregnant again. That's bad enough, but what's really bothering me is my hair won't hold a perm. Can you please advise me? It's from Elaine in Louisville.
That was great. I got a kick out of it.
The answer, Dear Elaine, first see a doctor. It could be a physical condition. If it's not that, inquire at a beauty parlor that specializes in hair care.
That was good. I got a real big jolt out of that.
What I wanted to ask, though, was... Are there people who... I mean, what's the difference between Dear Abby and Ann Landers?
They're sisters.
I know they're sisters. Why would you write to one, though, and not the other?
I think Dear Abby comes up with more humorous responses.
Is there really that difference?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
And Ann Landers always ends her comments to the individual who writes, especially if she's talking down with, well, you better get your act in line, buddy, or always... There's always a honey or petunia or something that... Or
so
buttercup.
There are differences. I never really noticed the differences.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I haven't really looked for them. And Newsday is one of the few papers that carries both of them, so you can actually, you know, contrast them. Oh, you've got an interesting story there, Mike.
I guess I do. Another one from Newsday. A Soviet newspaper claimed yesterday that the CIA is using radiation and genetic science to breed super mosquitoes in a laboratory in Pakistan for spreading disease in neighboring Afghanistan.
Jeez.
Mosquitoes, huh? Yeah, mosquitoes. I had a professor once who was Indian, and he would call them mosquitoes. The Literary Gazette, published weekly by the Soviet Writers Union, identified the laboratory as the Pakistani Medical Studies Center in Lahore, which said it is affiliated with the University of Maryland and funded by and directed by the Central Intelligence Agency. In Washington, CIA spokeswoman Kathy Fersen denounced the report as ridiculous Soviet propaganda.
Ah. Mosquitoes, yeah. This is the final thing that I have. And I'd like very much if you would look at it and just read it through and not worry about the fact that it's an advertisement for someone.
Do you want me to read this on the air?
Yeah, I want you to read it. And this is something my mother actually found. I think it's fascinating.
Save 40 cents. There's so much meat protein, there's no need to add meat.
Keep going.
You want me to read the coupon?
Yeah, read the whole thing. Read the ad.
Yeah, it's for Alpo beef-flavored dinner. Yeah, Mr. Retailer. Do you want me to read that part?
Don't read the Mr. Retailer part, but just read what it says in big letters. And
save 40 cents on a 25-pound bag of Alpo beef-flavored dinner.
Now, you and I both know what Alpo is for, but where in that ad do you see what it's for?
Aha!
Ah! What's going on here?
Yes, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely... Yes, right there.
I know, in very small letters on the bag.
Yeah.
A little star, but that is the only reference made to the fact that that's dog food.
Yeah.
Nowhere else. If I was just looking at that, it looks like something that humans would be very interested in.
Especially that appetizing picture.
it has a picture of it. Mm. No picture of dogs anymore.
That's true.
Now, I know the Reagan cuts are bad, but is this a solution?
Certainly not. Oh, jeez. Certainly not. Certainly not. That's very clever.
Okay, I just thought I'd bring that up.
Uh-huh.
Well, do you have anything else?
No, not really.
Well, then let's proceed with the program.
Sure. Well, you're tuned to The Voice of Long Island. I'm Mike Juhas.
And Eric Corley.
And we're going to be here for about, not 3 hours anymore because we've been babbling on.
How long have we babbled for?
Well, we've been babbling for...
Wow!
Yeah. About 35 minutes.
35 minutes?
And we have a pair of tickets for Bobby and the Midnights. 2467901. Be the first caller, and they're yours.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm morning class.
Morning, teacher.
Now, as usual, we will begin with roll call. Who have we here? Smokey?
Present, teacher.
Herbie?
Yes, teacher.
Mia?
I'm teacher.
Good. Now, I want us to think about what we did over the holidays.
Yes, teacher.
Yes,
I learned about family meetings, teacher.
Oh.
Where there is land and there is to eat before and grow something that earns plenty of money, teacher.
Oh?
Something called...
Smokey?
I was learning about the test things, you know, teacher. I tried some studies, you know, teacher. Also, I want my book to teacher, and it's a piece of paper, you know. And I feel one sip and take a whip. I feel one sip and take a whip. I roll a little sip and take a whip.
Okay.
I roll a little sip and take a whip.
What?
Take a whip up at the same thing,
you know.
So, a whip up at the same thing, you know. So.
Mila?
Yes, teacher?
Well, teacher, over the holidays, teacher, I have been studying about music, teacher.
Yes.
So, teacher, give me some rhythm, teacher. A long time, no teacher. Rhythm, teacher.
Oh?
Rhythm with music, teacher.
Oh?
Teacher, I get to understand, you know, that the same thing here what I'm smoking them talking about, teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Go well with music, teacher.
Oh.
And teacher, that makes sense. Oh.
Yes.
And teacher, to this thing that make you feel
so
teacher.
Yes. I tell you, teacher, you have to believe. Because, teacher,
hey, the man, hey, what I say, I give back some of you.
Mila, what are you talking about?
It makes sense, teacher. Really makes sense.
Okay.
Okay, we can talk now.
Okay, let's go ahead.
Yeah.
Ah!
We're on
the
air.
Perfect segue.
Yes, it's us.
It certainly is.
It's 1 o'clock. You're tuned to WUSB.
Stony Brook.
With a telephone number, it is not important right now.
It's 2
4
6
7
9
0
1.
Area code
5
1
6. We heard all sorts of things. We're going to run down the list. We've got a big list for you.
If I don't fall out of my chair.
Don't fall out of your chair.
Yeah, we heard from the Bobby Shue Sextet from the new LP Play Song. We heard a cut from there. And then from Billy McComiskey from the new LP Making the Rounds. It's an LP of Irish traditional music. We heard a cut from there. And we heard a couple of things there.
Something you put together.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, something I put together. And was this
very impressive.
Was it really?
I thought so.
Oh, okay. It was Dave Mason and Rita Marley.
Not everyone would do that.
Duo. Not anyone would do that. And we're listening to some military marches of Germany's Royal Imperial Army. Right now.
Well, as long as we're into military music, it would be appropriate to bring out the old shotgun news.
Well, isn't that nice?
That sort of found its way into the studios tonight. In case you don't know, and the shotgun news is very proud of this fact, they say they're the trading post for anything that shoots.
Aha.
I think that's interesting. They were established in 1946, and they published three times a month.
Yes.
And they're located in Hastings, Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Shotguns, rifles, handguns, accessories, modern and antique. Oh, boy. There's all sorts of things here. For one thing, they have T-shirts and T-shirts that say Big Mac Attack and have a picture of this gun that's called a Big Mac.
Really?
They have a poster, Gun Control is Being Able to Hit Your Target, as opposed to with a little target inside. Yeah. Why Waltz When You Can Rock and Roll? And then it shows another gun. I don't know what that means exactly. Maybe that's the name of the gun.
These are all T-shirts?
Yeah.
Can you get them in hats, too?
Probably. I see
like
a
helmets.
Hat there.
Helmets.
Dutch Army and Police helmets they sell. And they're expensive, too. There's another one, Peace Through Superior Firepower.
Ooh.
Yeah. Another gun control is being able to hit your target, except this one has a human target.
Ooh.
The Whisper of Authority. I guess that's a gun with a silencer.
Ooh. And there's something that is selling tripods for $300 there.
Was it?
Right there. Tripods.
Oh, yes, they are selling tripods. Can you believe this price? Only $300 for a tripod. Now you can own that tripod you always wanted without having to sell your house to afford it.
Yeah.
These are complete with traversing mechanism and in excellent condition. Although designed for use with the Bren light machine gun, they can easily be converted to accept many other MGs.
Hmm. Stands for machine gun.
Oh, that's what MG stands for.
Yeah, and also stands for a car, too.
How about this one? Wanted. Holders of federal firearms licenses that will handle shipments of firearms and ammo, etc., for those who do not have a license.
Hmm.
Send your name and address and amount you will charge. As soon as we receive about 2,000, we will publish the list.
Hmm.
Shotgun news. Yeah. Another one. You can fly a literal lifesaver and the perfect gift. Fly or Die, a complete emergency flight manual for the non-pilot. Listen to this. When the masses jam the freeways for the final countdown, will you be there waiting in line for your turn to die, or will you fly away to safety and the chance to fight again?
Ooh.
You can do it. Wilbur and Orville Wright did it. And so
Wilbur!
With a machine infinitely more dangerous than today's modern aircraft. Simplified instructions. What kind of aircraft to fly and how? How to start any plane without keys? Navigation, weather, radio operation, optional. Parachutes, and much, much more. 80 pages plus illustrations.
Hmm.
Oh, boy, so all these people are going to be flying around in the sky. And
with something to look forward to.
With a little book in their hands.
Yeah. That's an interesting magazine now. Where did we get this from?
Well, I don't want to say who brought it in. It wouldn't be nice.
Was it a staff member?
Well, yeah, I guess you could say that.
Uh-huh.
But, we have access to all sorts of weird things.
Yeah,
that way. Our arms are constantly reaching out, finding
uh-huh.
various things. Gary Pecorino's arm is out now.
Always outstretched.
How about, I don't believe this, Survived, Sparkling what do they call this? Sparking insert shaving edge. Well, that's what they say on this device.
Oh.
It says, this magnesium fire starting tool will start hundreds of fires. With a flame source of 5,400 degrees Fahrenheit, it will light the stubbornest campfire, even in damp and windy conditions.
You know, my next-door neighbor should be reading this magazine.
Yeah?
A little kid, he's a real brat. He'd get a kick out of some of these things. This kid is, what, sixth grade. He was in sixth grade, and I had just learned this in chemistry. This was like a couple of years ago, and what 2,4-6-trinitrotoluene is. And everybody knows what it is, right, Eric?
Oh, yeah.
What is it?
It's TNT.
Right. And this little kid knew it.
Probably from watching cartoons.
Could be.
I mean, you know, cartoons are pretty advanced.
Yes, yes, yes.
Let me see. I'm going to keep trying to find things here. There's all sorts of... a line cobra sling, only $10.
Ooh!
Should go out and get ours right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, how about a 7,000 volt handheld shocker?
How much?
How much is it? It's very cheap. It's only $3. Mm. Oh, that's for the catalog. I'm sorry. $28.50. Okay, that's better.
I see.
It weighs only 10.5 ounces. Measures only 6.25 by 2 by 1.25 inches.
What is that in metric?
I'm not going to tell you. Small enough to carry in hand or purse. It's made for dog training and protection from dangerous animals, therefore ideal for personal defense. Has positive action safety switch and leather wrist thong. Uses transistorized circuitry for trouble-free operation.
Now, this is a zapper of some sort?
Yeah.
A stun gun?
They have a lot of these being sold in this magazine. That doesn't really describe it all that clearly, but I guess... Well, it's kind of similar to, you know, when you shake someone's hand and you give them a buzz. So if you really want to give them a jolt...
Yeah.
If you shake hands with somebody you don't like all that much.
Yeah.
Okay, we got pistols here, we got shotguns, rifles, machine guns, parts drawers for all the different parts for these guns that you want to keep.
Oh, wow.
Plus old war things. How about a Civil War headgear?
It's really amazing that this headgear, huh? They had headgear back in the Civil War. this whole magazine is packed. It's
amazing.
It's bigger than the bylines.
It's 156 pages.
And every inch is packed with advertisements.
Wow, about this?
It's quite a business.
Last, a shirt for us gun lovers. Wear this top-quality T-shirt enhanced with our full-color print of the Colt 38 Special packed into your belt.
Ooh.
See how it's packed into his belt, Mike?
Yeah, I saw that. It's like packed into his belt. It just disappears.
Yeah, it does.
Mm.
Good part of it. Wow.
It's a pretty big gun.
Great
too.
For clubs, it says.
Really?
Awesome.
Clubs and chains and whips.
All sorts of other things. All sorts of toll-free phone numbers here, too.
Yeah. Let's call someone.
A black powder storage box. They sell Nazi armbands, too. That's really interesting.
Ooh.
Virtually anything that you could possibly think of, this magazine peddles.
Uh-huh.
Somewhere. Hideout patch. Pouch. You can securely stash all your valuables and they'll be completely unnoticed. It fits on any size leg and can hold a lot of weight without having to be held tightly to your leg.
Mm.
You can jump, run, whatever, and it will stay in position. It does not slip down.
Oh.
Special Forces Green Beret. Elite Commando T-shirts. Wanted. Military holsters. Russian AK-74 muzzle brake. In the gravest extreme, the leading book on armed self-defense by private citizens is now a 40-hour training program.
Ooh!
Learn the legal, moral, practical, and tactical aspects of defending yourself and your loved ones with deadly weapons. It sounds like they're making fun of themselves. It really does.
Yeah.
Conducted personally by Combat Master Massad Ayoub, as seen recently on ABC's 2020. Live Fire concentrates on close street combat techniques and shoot-don't-shoot tactical exercises to learn the dynamics of violent human confrontation. You will learn what to expect from the criminal justice system in the aftermath of a self-defense gun incident, as well as the safest techniques for keeping a self-defense gun in your home or store.
That's interesting.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, I guess you can go on and on, but we all get the picture, I think.
I think so. Yeah. Quite a picture it is.
And 156 fun-filled pages there.
Yeah, shotgun news.
Yeah. Well,
if you have anything weird that you want us to read over the air, by all means,
send it to us. Yeah.
What's our address, Mike?
WUSB, State University of New York at Stony Brook, Stony Brook, New York, 11794
is our zip code.
And we got the tripods coming up real soon. We have a special whole pages of stuff there.
This is amazing. They have, you know what classified ads look like?
Yeah.
Well, they have pages and pages filled with nothing but it.
Yeah.
No pictures, nothing. Just stacked.
Oh. Yeah. There it goes on the floor. Anyhow, there's a tune here that would kind of fit in quite well. It's Graham Nash.
Okay.
Godly and Cream.
Yowza yowza.
Clues. It's from their LP Freeze Frame. They did some interesting stuff. They had a couple of LPs. They had a, I think it was like a 3 or 4 record set called Consequences, and they have another album called L, something like that. If you
really?
Yeah.
Really.
So we can just have the, one of the things underneath us.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. That's not fair. You're in dub and I'm not.
Hey, that's the way it goes.
Yeah, really.
Sorry, Mike. You know, some of us just get chances.
Yeah.
And others don't.
Yeah. Yeah, poor guy. But in any event, well, being on the air for a whole year, we have established certain traditions around here. And certain, well, our listeners, of course, know that there's certain favorite things that we like to do.
That's not fair.
That record is so warped. When I speeded it up to 78,
the needle jumped
all over the place.
All over the place.
Yeah. But in any event, one of the things we do here is we do dubbing of nights.
What is dubbing?
It's what you're doing to yourself. And you're not doing it to me, and I'm not in the least bit concerned.
Well, that's the way it goes.
I guess it is.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And I don't think any of this would happen without Gary Pecorino's help.
Gary Pecorino.
On the switch.
Don't you feel silly?
Why should I feel silly?
Because your voice isn't dubbing. And mine is.
Yeah.
Feels so good to be dubbing.
I'll bet it does. Well, in any event, one of the things we introduced, well, we didn't really introduce it. We popularized it. Well, I don't know if we popularized it, but we played the hell out of it.
That we did.
June Lodge and Prince Mohammed. Someone Loves You, Honey. This is the USB version. It lasts about 11 minutes to get your dancing shoes on. And, you know, if you want to go down to the sock hop and dance around to this.
You won't hear this version anywhere else.
Except maybe on USB. And we're WUSB.
Stony Brook. Gary, stop the tape. I don't believe he did that.
What happened? Did the tape break or something?
That's not fair. I feel like an idiot.
You sounded like one, too.
Yeah. Ross Gary, they call it.
Ross Gary. Ja Rastafari. Anyway, June Lodge is here along with Prince Mohammed, so Someone Loves You, Honey. The USB version.
Share your life. when I first came to Brookhaven Town. There wasn't good music to be heard around.
Hello, 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 hello.
And we're listening to...
Hello, 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 hello.
WUSB in Stony Brook.
Radio Free Long Island, with the express written consent of the Three Village Tobacco Farms, proudly presents the episodes of the Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. This week we rejoin Howard, Kathy, and their friend Boris as they have just left the sewer system of Nice, France, and entered some sort of a cage that houses an angry cougar. And we hear Howie's... Now, the thing to do in a case like this is just remain calm. Don't let it show if you're frightened or upset or anything like that.
That is correct, Mr. Tripod. If we begin to panic, then the beast may feel threatened by our presence here.
Yes, we have to figure out the easiest way out of here, that's for sure. And we better do it soon.
Is there still a way out, Howard?
Of course there is, Kathy. But don't be so pessimistic. After all, we just came in, didn't we? So it stands to reason that if we can come in, then we can go out.
Oh, don't be so certain, Mr. Tripod. I have a strong suspicion that there trap door, which we just now came through, is a one-way passage.
But that doesn't make any sense.
Oh, but it does, Mr. Tripod. Whoever is responsible for the maintenance of this here beast would most certainly not want it to go through that there door and roam all throughout the sewer system of Nice, France, from which we just emerged.
Well, could you check anyway, Boris?
All right, I will. There. It is just as I suspected. This here door done be locked.
Rats. I'll tell you, we have the absolute worst luck.
Oh, see? We keep getting into jams. But no peanut butter.
My goodness. I think we've upset him.
That is incorrect, Mr. Tripod.
Well, it certainly seems like he's upset, doesn't it?
You're right about that, but you're dead wrong when you refer to the cougar as a he. It is most certainly of the female persuasion.
Does that really matter, Boris? We've got to get out of here. I won't tolerate having Kathy frightened like this.
You look rather pale yourself, Mr. Tripod.
Never mind that. Let's just look for a way out of here. He seems to be... she seems to be getting closer.
Oh, look, up there. There's a ladder. And it goes to a ledge. Do you see it?
Well, no. No, I don't. Where is it, Kathy?
Look, over there, on the other side of the room. Right by that elephant over there.
Wow. I didn't see him before. How many animals are in here, anyway?
I hear birds, and I think I hear a monkey in addition.
Wow, what kind of place is this, anyway, that we stumbled into? Oh, look, a duck.
It would appear to be an underground wildlife sanctuary. There are not too many of them left in the Western Hemisphere, though.
Well, regardless of how many there are left, I, for one, would be very happy to get out of this crazy place. How about you, Kathy?
Oh, I'm with you, Howard. I want to get back home to our happy suburban house on Long Island as soon as possible.
Well, then let's head for that ladder right away.
My friends, let us exercise caution. That ladder is all the way across the other side of this here vast chamber. There are probably 10 or more large animals in our path. We're going to have to play our cards just right. Do you catch my drift?
I understand you quite well, Boris. It's a risk we're just going to have to take.
What in the world was that?
It sounded like a dramatic theme.
Well, why would there be a dramatic theme in this room?
I don't know.
Did you just say something dramatic?
Well, all I said was, it's a risk we're just going to have to take.
Well, that does sound a little dramatic.
Well, even if it is, Kathy, there's no reason for us to hear music.
Oh, look out, Howard! One of those strange animals is coming straight at you!
Oh. Hello. How are you?
What are you doing, Howard?
It can't hurt to be a little friendly, Kathy. My, you're a big fellow, aren't you? What's your name?
Friends, I believe we are finally going bonkers.
And so Howard, Kathy, and their friend Boris remain trapped in a strange place with strange animals. You want to be with us next time when we'll hear Kathy say...
How dare you call my husband bonkers?
That's next time on the exciting adventures of the Tripod Family, presented in conjunction with Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
stray dog to New York. My guitar and $50 between me and all the lawns. Found a job that pays okay, but it costs twice as much to stay. I'll just buy myself a beer and dream of home. Well, things ain't going good, that's when everything goes bad. But this old bar's my home away from home. I won't worry about tomorrow, cause tonight I found my sorrow. Think about that sweet thing back in San Antonio. Guess I'm gonna have to stay. But I'm tired of sleeping all alone. My arms can't reach to San Antonio. So tonight'll be another honky tonk night on Broadway.
Music in stereo right here on 90.1 FM.
Yowzer, 1:46 in the morning.
Yeah.
Saturday, Friday type thing, you know. 4 degrees in Stony Brook. And on the Fahrenheit scale, that's 39.
2, 4, 6, 7, 9, 0, 1
is our telephone number.
Yeah.
If you desire to call us with your suggestions or other things.
It's funny, somebody just called Little just a few minutes ago. He wanted to hear something, and it just so happens you were bringing that particular album out of the library to play.
Isn't that something?
You know, that happens occasionally.
It does.
It does.
Well, there's only one song that we can play.
Which?
Is written by a gentleman named Mose Allison.
Oh, a local guy.
I wouldn't say local.
I'd say Smithtown.
Mose Allison is from Smithtown?
That's what they say.
Well, that's what you say.
Yeah, because he was on Village Common a couple of times, right?
Was he?
Yeah.
I believe you're right.
Yeah, of course I'm right.
Well, we're going to hear a Mose Allison tune. It's done by a modern English band they call The Clash. Look here.
Look here, what you think you're going to be doing next year? No lie, I know you're not going to up and down. No doubt, there's going to be nothing but a twist on you. Take care, no one has much chance to care.
city, jumping with my boss, sitting in the city, Mr. President of the DJ community. We gotta be up all night, get moody. We want you to spin the sounds from the city. We're down in the land, that's real, real pretty. Everything go real crazy over Jay-Z. Everything go real crazy over Jay-Z. Everything cool for me and my baby. Don't wanna think we're listening to ladies. We gotta be pressed for cheering all the bass. The dollars are set right clear on the 80.
Yeah. I bet you'll never guess who that is, Mike.
Pink Floyd?
Yes, Pink Floyd. From way back.
I guessed. When they were on Bearsville Records, right?
Yes. It was a long, long time ago. 1969, July 9th, 1969, actually.
Wow.
And that was produced. It was called Biding My Time. You can find that on an album called Relics, probably a couple other places, too.
Hmm.
We heard from Joe Jackson off Jumping Jive and Dancing with Symphony Sid. Symphony Sid, I believe, was the name of that one.
Oh, Symphony Sid. Oh, is that what it was?
Yep. Actually, Jumping with Symphony
Sid. Yes.
And The Clash, Look Here, from Mose Allison. And all sorts of other things on USB, The Voice of Long Island.
There it is, about
1:58, I'd say.
Time for the 1:55 news.
Sounds good to me. Well, concern in Congress over what the president will propose in his 1983 budget. New York Congressman Benjamin Rosenthal says President Reagan will ask Congress to eliminate the Taxpayer Service Division of the IRS. Rosenthal, a Democrat, says the IRS will also limit its audits, and, he said, it will end its refund fraud detection program. But at the IRS, they're saying nothing has been decided. A spokesman says Rosenthal's claims are either untrue or are based on dated information. Sources on Capitol Hill say Reagan's 83 budget includes a series of spending cuts, tax increases, and other measures, which won't be too popular with Congress. But the sources explain that Reagan is trying to dramatically increase the military budget and still keep the deficit below $100 billion. The budget goes to Congress on Monday. Well, the State Department says there are still at least six U.S. citizens in Iranian jails. A spokeswoman said Friday night that one of the six is an Afghan-born American arrested in 1980. She refused to identify the others, citing the Privacy Act as the reason, but she added that U.S. officials are in touch with the families of the prisoners. A man described as being distraught over the death of his son from leukemia was shot and killed by police in Memphis, Tennessee. Jean-Claude Goulet had been holding three hostages for more than 24 hours at the hospital where his six-year-old son had been treated. Authorities had negotiated with Goulet around the clock. His former wife said Friday that Goulet had been threatening to do something ever since their son died in 1980. She said he couldn't snap out of his depression.
The National Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta reports measles is becoming an extinct species. A record low number of measles cases was reported last year, and the experts say the disease could be eliminated by October. The highly contagious illness once killed 500 people in the United States every year. Well, the airfares between New York and Florida are going up once again. As of March 1st, a one-way ticket will cost $135, up from $77. Meanwhile, United Airlines says it's reducing the fare on its transcontinental flights in off-peak hours to meet the low fares of other airlines on the same route. The headline says, I'm the NRA. Under it stands a freckle-faced second grader from Oklahoma City. He's smiling and holding out a BB gun. He'll soon be seen in many national magazines. And the National Rifle Association says the ad campaign is aimed at showing people there's more to the NRA than the gun lobby. The boy's father says all he wants is for his son to learn how to handle guns safely. What do the Queen of England and President Reagan have in common? Well, they're both celebrating something Saturday. The president will be cutting a cake in observance of his 71st birthday, and Queen Elizabeth will be marking her 30th anniversary on the throne.
Well, police say a 57-year-old Brooklyn man escaped serious injury after his car careened through a retaining wall, fell 30 feet, and landed on its front end against a Long Island Railroad car at the railroad's Brooklyn Yards. Police Sergeant Richard Vestafka of the 78th Precinct says William Jackson of Brooklyn was involved in a two-car accident at the corner of Atlantic Avenue and Claremont Avenue in Brooklyn shortly before 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. After the collision, Vestafka says Jackson's 1972 Ford rammed through a retaining wall and fell the 30-foot embankment. The car ended front-end first, Vestafka says, leaning against a railroad car.
The fire department was called in to remove Jackson and to soak down the gasoline that was dripping on the third rail. The railroad had turned off the power, cutting off the 2 yard tracks, which are used to supply extra trains during rush hour, according to Vestafka. Long Island Railroad spokesman Mike Mayone says 4 trains that ordinarily originate in Flatbush Avenue were canceled. Power was restored by 5:30 yesterday afternoon, and Mayone says 3 were There were up to half-hour delays through Jamaica due to the accident and other problems. Mayon says approximately 10,000 commuters who use the Brooklyn service were inconvenienced. Jackson was taken to Cumberland Hospital, as was the driver of the second car, identified by police as 49-year-old Bertha Goodwin, also of Brooklyn.
Well, the first negotiations since technicians struck New Haven, Connecticut's Channel 8 TV were arranged today for Monday evening, but the management of WTNH-TV is threatening to hire permanent replacements for all engineers, camera operators, and news photographers unless they go back to work by next Wednesday. Spokeswoman Kathy Cummings of the National Association of Broadcast Employees and Technicians, Local 14, says a federal mediator has set bargaining for 5 p.m. next Monday at the Park Plaza Hotel in New Haven.
The 32 workers struck the TV station Wednesday afternoon in a dispute over management's attempt to take away job security and union shop clauses included in the contract that expired last week. The station already has some temporary workers filling in for strikers. The station, owned by Capital Cities Communications Incorporated, sent a registered letter to the strikers yesterday saying that they will be replaced permanently if they stay away from their jobs after Tuesday. Despite the letter from General Manager Peter Orne, Mrs. Cummings says the union is very encouraged at this point, cautious but optimistic, because bargaining is to resume. Orne says he also remains confident all the remaining issues can be resolved at the bargaining table.
In other sports, the Stony Brook Patriots defeated the Gallaudet Bisons tonight at the Stony Brook Gym by a score of 77-65. Don't forget, tomorrow night Stony Brook will be playing Queens right here at 8 p.m. If you can't come down to the gym, you can listen on the radio. It's Stony Brook versus Queens tomorrow night, or actually later on tonight at 8 p.m. And in some other leagues, namely the National Basketball Association, the New York Knicks over the San Diego team, 90-85. Well, it's currently 4 degrees Celsius in Stony Brook, 39 on the Fahrenheit scale. Should be getting up into the 40s today and clouding up just a little bit. Then later on tonight, back down into the 30s with a chance of some precipitation. Could be snow, could be rain. Once again, 4 degrees in Stony Brook, 39 on the Fahrenheit scale. Time now at 2:05 for our 2 o'clock album side. And Mike?
No.
Oh,
no,
there
no,
you are. There you are.
Wait a minute. I've been in the dark here for just a couple of minutes. Now, who did Stony Brook play tonight?
Stony Brook played the Gallaudet Bisons. Is that how you say that?
Bisons?
Bisons?
Yeah, it's like a bull.
Oh, yes. I was reading it wrong. Bisons, bisons.
Bisons.
Whatever.
But
that Gallaudet is the word I thought I'd mess up, you know, not the bisons.
Bisons, yes. Well, I think you should mind your own business. Anyway, you're going to be taking off right after this album side, right?
Yes, I will. I have to be up extremely early tomorrow morning.
How extreme?
Too extreme to even think about at this point.
Well, are you going to give us a call by the time you get home and just say goodnight to everybody?
I guess I could do that.
Okay.
I'll do it as I'm falling asleep. How's that?
Okay.
I don't want to stay up, otherwise there's no point.
You'll probably drop the phone on the floor, too, knowing you.
Well, I can drop the phone on the rug. Is that as funny as dropping the phone on the floor?
Drop the floor on the rug, huh?
Did I say that?
Yes, you did.
Oh, sorry. I meant drop the phone on the rug.
How about if you drop the rug on the floor?
I could try that, but I don't think that would be very funny.
You might kick up some dust.
It's time for our album side, Mike.
Yes, and why don't you tell us what it is?
I have no idea what it is.
Well, it's a Gary Pecorino selection.
Okay, well, what did he select?
I don't have the album cover in front of me.
Well, I don't either. Okay.
It's beside you, that's why. Eric's always beside himself, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are these people? Chunky, Novi, and Ernie.
And they're not related to Bunky and Spunky.
I should hope not.
Yeah.
Let's see what we have here. Well, it came out in 1973.
Yeah.
We're going to be hearing Side 1.
Produced by Ted Templeman and John Cale.
Well, how about that?
Yeah.
If we're going to be hearing Side 1, that means these albums, they don't tell you what's on which side. They just sort of list everything.
It does on the record label, no?
Okay, yeah, here we go. America.
Ooh.
Chicago.
Ooh.
Antique.
You know, for a minute there, it sounded like a couple of pop groups.
Oh, it's America / Chicago.
Ah.
No, this is all messed up. I'm sorry.
Well, maybe I'll figure it out.
It is, because they mixed them up on the back.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, I thought the back was in the same order as the record, but it's not. Okay, I can tell you...
Read off the record.
Oh, I have to turn it like this then. Whoops, I just started it by hitting the button. Wonderful. Let's try that again. Okay, Underground, we're going to hear Rosalie, we're going to hear Chicago Fog Lift, Antique, and Fruits and Vegetables. Yeah.
Yeah, Chunky, who?
Novi and Ernie.
Uh-huh.
Gary, you pick this out if you're out there. Well, turn up your radio because this is for you.
This is WUSB
Stony Brook.
Thank you. there you have it. That's our scenic album side for tonight. It's Chunky, Novi, and Ernie. They're apparently their one and only album. We heard side one of this album on the Reprise label. Songs Underground, Rosalie, Chicago Fog Lift, Antique, and Fruits and Vegetables. Well, you're tuned to the Voice of Long Island. I'm Mike Juhas. Eric Corey stepped out. He won't be back tonight. At least, unless he's driving along and he hears this and pulls over to a payphone. Bum, 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 bum. Well, the phone's not ringing, so I guess he's not near a payphone. And, well, let's see. We got all sorts of neat things coming up. Coming up at around 3 o'clock is Captain Kirk. Kirk McGurk. With his unique blend of music for you for a Saturday morning, Friday night, Saturday morning. And who knows? Maybe a few other surprises, nevertheless. The telephone number here is area code 516, then 246, then 7901, in case you wish to get in touch with me here. Why? Nobody really knows. But, let's see, I'm still waiting for that phone call from Eric. Well, apparently he's not going to call right now. I'll probably just finish talking and the phone will ring. And he'll want me to interrupt this song by Ellen McElwain. Which I won't do.
Last night I had a dream. in it, and I was in it with it. Everyone that I know, and everyone that you know was in my dream. I saw vampires, I saw ghosts, everybody scared me. You scared me the most. Dream my head last night. Started out in the barnyard, sun down. Everyone was laughing. You were lying on the ground. You said, honey, can you tell me what your name is? Honey, can you tell me what your name is? I said, you know what my name is. In it with me. Everyone that I know, everyone that you know was in my dream. Saw vampires, I saw ghosts. Everybody scared me. You scared me the most.
Take the load off, baby. load right on me. Right on me. Crazy Chester followed me, and he cut me as he fall. He said, I will fix your rap if you take Jack my dog. I said, wait a minute, Chester. Get out!
Tower of Power. Oh boy, a whole bunch of stuff that time. Let's see now, what did we start off with? Well, let's work backwards. That was Tower of Power from the live LP Live and in Living Color. What is hip? What is hip, anyway? And we heard from Little Feet, just before that, from the LP Waiting for Columbus. We heard Willing from Van Morrison. We heard Kingdom Hall from Wavelength, from the band, from music from Big Pink. We heard The Weight. Randy Newman, we heard something from Sail Away. We started off with something from Ellen McElwain, her new LP, Everybody Needs It. On the line is Eric Corley. Are you there?
Oh, yeah, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Excellent, Amanda. How was your trip home?
It was pleasant. It was okay. But I'll tell you something, Mike. This place has become Pothole City over the last couple of weeks. Last week, actually.
Yeah, I noticed that.
It's really quite a hassle driving a car sometimes.
You know,
all the rain and snow and ice and road crews.
It's really not quite as bad here as it is down at the place I went in Pennsylvania on Wednesday.
Is that so?
Yeah, I went to I was at an industrial park in Ivyland, Pennsylvania, which is in Bucks County.
Huh.
And let's see. The name of the industrial park was called, let's see if I get this right now, the Ginkgo Farms Industrial Park.
Wow.
Have you ever heard of ginkgo trees?
No, I haven't, but I've always thought they might exist.
Yeah, well, that's what the industrial park was named after, the ginkgo trees. And, oh, I couldn't believe it. I thought the potholes were bad here, but wait until you go down there, down to Ivyland, PA.
How bad are they?
Really bad. You could lose yourself in one. If you're driving a small car, forget it. It's you're all over. You're all finished.
I've seen some pretty deep ones.
Yeah? Where?
One in the Secaucus area.
Uh-huh.
Around Smithtown, I saw a couple of really big ones.
You did?
I wonder what, you know, how they managed to film them.
You know, I saw one this morning. Let's see, where was this now? It was in the Ronkonkoma area. They had filled it with, looked like some tar and a whole bunch of rocks. They just had thrown it in.
Is that just a temporary solution to do that?
I should hope so.
Well, a permanent solution then would never come because they don't repave roads that often.
Well, I don't know. This past summer, they repaved a really nice road, stretch of road in Lake Grove.
What's interesting, though, is the roads that seem to get the most potholes are the ones that are most recently repaved.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's an awful lot of them around here that have been patched so much they look like quilts.
That's true. Road, you can tell the history of a road, I guess, by the number of times it's been patched.
Yeah, that's true.
Best roads, I would say, are ones that still have cement on them.
Uh-huh.
They never get potholes.
That's very true. Except
cobblestones.
Except, yeah, that's true, too. Except when you drive on cement roads, they always go, ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. Or if you're going faster, ba-dum, 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 ba-dum.
That's true. Sometimes they have tar on the side, cement in the middle. They go, ba-dum, ba-dum, bum, when you fall off it, you know, and you almost go into a pit.
And in the summertime, that tar kind of melts, and it goes, ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum.
Yeah,
because
right.
Your tire kind of sticks to it.
It smears all over the cement, turns kind of brownish.
Yeah. You know, Captain Kirk's not in yet. He'll be in a little while, so we have a few extra minutes to kill tonight.
Oh, that's wrong. I hope you killed him okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to get me some sleep here, because I got to be up real early.
Okay, well, now let's do a live phone-in ID. Now, what's the station you're listening to here?
Well, I don't listen to any station, actually. There's no radio in my room.
Oh.
I'm just sort of listening to the clock ticking away, and knowing that sooner or later the alarm's going to go off.
Does it really tick?
Yes, it does.
Can you hold up the phone to it?
Well, I have to go all the way across the room to get the clock. Do you want me to do that?
That's okay. We'll wait. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, just hold on a second.
Mm-hmm. All the things we do for pleasure around here.
Hello.
Hello.
Ah, good. You're still there. Yeah, I had some trouble getting it. Well, do you want to hear the clock ticking?
Sure.
Yeah, here it is. What do you think of that?
Do it again.
Okay. Oops.
Was that your alarm?
Yes, I don't know why it just went off, but oh boy.
I heard a couple of bangs in there. I thought I heard ticking, but, well, your alarm clock must have been set for 3 o'clock, because 3 o'clock it is, and you're tuned to WUSB.
Stony Brook.
Yeah. So, I guess our time is just about up.
Sounds good to me.
So, there's a couple of more tunes here, and then Kirk will be in.
Okay.
And so, it's Mike Uhas here, and...
Eric, where are you there?
Yeah, you're not here. So, we'll be back again next week, and you'll be back on Tuesday?
Yes, that I will. Be back Tuesday. You'll be back Thursday?
Yeah, and we'll have individual episodes of the Tripods around 10:15 or so.
Sounds good to me.
On Thursday and Tuesday evenings. And we'll be back again in this form or another next week at the same time. Well, midnight.
Next Friday night, Saturday morning at midnight, that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, so it's been a real pleasure and a privilege, Eric.
Same here. See you all next week.
Okay, bye-bye. Yeah, you just hung up. Got something here from Bruce Coburn. What about the Bond?
Feeling the loving breath. 8 a.m. Out my head by 10:30. Out with mates and dates and friends. That's what I do at weekends. I can't talk and I can't walk, but I know where I'm going to go. I'm going to watch my money go. At the local, no, no. When my feet go through the door, I know what my right arm is for. Buy a drink and pull a chair up to the edge of the dance floor. Dancers bouncing through the night, trying to stop or start a fight. I sit and watch the flashing lights, moving legs in footless tights. I go out on Friday night and I come home on Saturday night. I go out on Friday night and I come home on Saturday night. I like to venture into town. I like to get a few drinks down. The floor gets packed, the bar gets full. I don't like life when things get dull. The hen party have saved the night, freed themselves from drunken stacks. Having fun and dancing in a circle round the leather bags. I go out on Friday night and I come home on Saturday morning. I go out on Friday night and I come home on Saturday morning. To leave this paradise.